Today on the Grow Great podcast, it's don't just think like a media company, act like a successful one. It's episode 4045. Welcome to the podcast. No production, no music. Let's just get right to it. My name is Randy Cantrell. Welcome inside the Yellow Studio, coming to you from Dallas-Fort Worth, Texas. Content marketing, that's the subject. Content marketing isn't magic, and it's not quick. For too many, it's not even effective. And that's because too many small business owners, and frankly, even some larger businesses, they struggle to view themselves as a media company. CEOs and business owners, they will happily recite what they have repeatedly heard, act like a media company, act like a media company, but they really don't know what that truly means. And they think it means cranking out content, just any kind of content. A common refrain that I hear is, I don't have time to blog three times a week. Well, okay, three times weekly, that may not be the common number. In fact, most of the time I will hear people say, I don't have time to do this once a week. And I usually feel like a fishing instructor who's standing in front of a bunch of people who really just want to buy a fish. And I will commonly hear, can't I just pay somebody to do this? Sure, you can. But when you're the owner of a $4 million a year remodeling company, or you are a one-man financial advisory business, you're the expert. And that magic that you're looking for in content marketing is in your head. It's in your experience. It's in your know-how. You just have to start thinking, and more importantly, acting like a successful media company. My first exposure to TV Guide, other than seeing it in the checkout line at the grocery store, was at my grandparents' house, a small town in Oklahoma. A copy would always be found on the side table next to my grandfather's chair. And at the time, there was nothing like it. In fact, the closest thing to it was the daily TV schedule in a daily newspaper. But in small town America, you know, that wasn't even often an option. And those weekly guides, well, this was before those weekly guides that came out in the Sunday paper. Yeah, before that. Scattered in each issue of the TV Guide would be stories of your favorite TV stars like Lucille Ball. In fact, when the first guide went national before my time in 1953, the birth of her son, Desi Arnaz Jr., that was the cover. Even these stories, they were unique at the time. Now, keep in mind, this is long before People magazine and other celebrity gossip magazines. Yeah, there was always plenty of yellow journalism, you know, those sensationalistic rags. But TV Guide had this legitimacy about it, a trust. And they approached stories of these stars with more of a journalistic quality. Now, these were the days before technology afforded any of us the ability to time shift watching our favorite shows. There were no recorders. No VCR had been invented yet. Everything was in real time. If you missed your favorite show when it aired, well, you missed it. And your best hope was that maybe during the summer, they might rerun it again. And that made this guide, the TV Guide, even more important to people. Now, in retrospect, you can look back at that and you can think, you know, that's not so special. And if you do think that, you'd be wrong. Because TV Guide was a one of a kind. It was unique. It was something that only TV Guide could do. Well, something that only TV Guide did. And in most cities and in most towns in America, there's only three networks. This is long before cable television, long before satellite television. There was ABC, CBS, and NBC. And small towns, they would often switch between two networks on a single channel, bringing people the most popular shows on each one of these networks. Big cities, they had a separate channel for each network. And if you were in a small town, but you were close enough that you could put up a big antenna so that you could get the signal from the big city, then, man, you had it made in the shade. And besides, in the big city, they also had this fourth station called PBS. Gave you a whopping four channels to pick from. Unlike the newspaper, TV Guide published in a digest format. You know, it was this, it was not quite pocket sized, a little bit larger, but it wasn't big magazine size. It was super, super convenient. And it was 15 cents. During the 1960s, TV Guide was the most widely read and circulated periodical in America. And its value soared. In fact, there was a time where the value of TV Guide surpassed the estimated value of ABC, CBS, and NBC combined. TV Guide, this little aggregator, this little outfit that had aggregated the schedule of what the big networks were putting on the air, coupled in with some feature content, was worth more than the content creators themselves. What's the lesson for you? Don't just crank out content to crank out content. I know people tell you, blog, podcast, post articles at LinkedIn, create videos for YouTube, and a thousand other pieces of advice for you to morph your enterprise into a media outlet for the purposes of attracting clients, attracting business, increasing your revenues. Become a media outlet. View yourself like a media company. We hear it over and over again. But they're overlooking a bigger issue, a really important issue, one that TV Guide did not get wrong. Uniqueness. Uniqueness. Let me challenge you. Dive into any space that you would like. Doesn't matter. Pick one. Some space where you notice people are blogging or they're creating a lot of content. I don't care what that platform is that they're using. Presumably, they're going to be using their own website, but they could be really leveraging YouTube, LinkedIn, Medium, Tumblr. It doesn't matter. Anywhere that you want to look. Some big areas include money or wealth management. Another big one is entertainment. That's just a couple of examples. Pick either one of those, pick something else. I don't care. Now, scan as much of that content as you can stand. I'm going to warn you, set a time limit on this because I don't want you to go too far down into the rabbit hole that you're liable to stay there all day and maybe not even find your way back out. Scan a dozen or so. Scan a dozen or so blogs, podcasts, video series. It doesn't matter. And now think about what you're seeing. Look for the commonalities. Pick the space, and mostly you're going to see a whole lot of me too kind of content. You're going to notice if you look at 12, it's highly probable one looks like the other. Okay, one might appear more professional than another. Stylistically, one might be slightly different than another. But when it boils down to it, not a lot of difference. You might go through dozens before you find one, just one, that really stands out. And why does it stand out? It stands out because it's not like the others. It's unique. It's different. Now, let me point out a super important fact here. I did not say better. Notice, I didn't say better. Maybe it is better. Maybe it's not better. But it is unquestionably different. And that's the lesson for you. That's how you stop thinking like a media company, because there are tons of media companies who struggle, and thinking like everybody else. That certainly isn't the path to high achievement. That's how you start acting like a successful media company, a company that knows what they're doing and they are committed to rising above the noise floor because they're embracing their difference, their uniqueness. Okay, brace yourself for some tough love. You ready? Do not create content if you can't produce something different. I know, everybody and their dog's telling you, create content, create content. I'm telling you, don't. Don't create content if you can't produce something unique. Yeah, sure, it's going to be ideal if you can create content that is different and better. That's optimal. But that ain't easy. In the war between different or unique and better, aim for the unique. There's two reasons for that. One, better is subjective. What I may think is better, you might not think is better, and it won't get noticed. But number two, unique is easier to spot for most people. Well, let me add a third reason. Sometimes you'll be able to make your unique content collide with better content. May not happen all the time. You can listen to this podcast or any number of podcasts, and you're not going to find podcasts. I have yet to hear one, and I've been podcasting for well over 15 years. You're not going to find one that hits it out of the park every time. They may be unique, but they're not all going to be great. They may not even all be better, but they can consistently be unique. And consistently unique is far easier and, frankly, a better way to leverage to attract people than consistently better. It's a big world. It's a big world out here with a whole lot of people who likely have more resources than you. If you are a solopreneur operating out of your house, you won't likely be able to produce better content than a staff of content creators who have graphic skills and copywriting skills and infographic skills and all the other talent found, the editors and the engineers and the developers that some of the quote unquote big media companies have. How am I different? Yep, we're all individuals, and in some respect, that makes us different. But the question is, how different are we? Not really, not so much. Now, a lot of people will tell you, but it's you. It's a poor strategy to simply think that because it's you saying something that everybody else is saying, then you're special and you're worthy of attention. Yeah, here's the harsh reality. No, you're not. No, you're not. It may be true that nobody can say it quite like you, but there are plenty of people close enough to make it hard to tell the difference. And it's why we commonly see people acting like lemmings, right? It's why we follow the herd. Many of us have been working all of our lives to fit in, to be like everybody else. Drive by any high school when they let classes out, and you're going to have a hard time spotting unique because teens want to be like their classmates. And now here we are as adults, and that innate desire is still very, very strong. I've got some grandkids, small kids. It's funny as I watch them and I begin to think back, you know, before we started school, might be something negative to that, right? Before we started school, things were different. We were different. Watch any group of little kids, preschoolers. They're not afraid to stand out. They're not afraid to be unique. They're not bashful to wear alpha underwear. We were joking the other day. My son, who's now grown and has three kids of his own, used to wear alpha underwear. And it's funny. You know, it's funny when you got grandkids running around and you see the cartoon underwear. When's the last time you wore cartoon underwear? Things change, right? Compliance kills creativity. Creativity kills boredom. If your answer to how am I different is not, if your answer is I'm not, that's a bad answer. And if your answer to how am I different is I'm not, then you have a much bigger problem than acting like a successful media company. You have a lot bigger problem than creating content. And I don't mean that you have to have this one-of-a-kind business model or one-of-a-kind service or one-of-a-kind product, I do mean that you need something that helps you stand out. Here's a true scenario that you've all experienced. You're driving your car and your gas gauge is on E, and that warning light on your dash has just now come on, and you realize that you've got, whatever, let's call it 30 miles. You got 30 miles or so to find a gas station. Now, what you decide to do is going to depend on a number of things. If you're in town, it's going to go one way. If you're out on the highway, it's probably going to be something different. If you're out on the highway and you're making some long trek, yeah, you probably are going to, whatever the first station you find, you're not going to care what brand it is. You're not going to care what their price tag is. You just need some gas. And so you're probably going to pull over. But if you're in town where there are gas stations on every corner, you make a decision based on convenience, maybe. Or maybe you make it based on a preferred brand because they have 93 octane, which my little car prefers, and you need that. But everybody else at the intersection, they've only got 91 octane. Or maybe you make a decision based on a station that you know has diesel because you don't need gasoline, you need diesel. Or maybe you don't care what kind of gas you burn, you just want the lowest price. It's all gasoline or diesel, but your selection is unique to you, not because you're one of a kind, but maybe you have some special considerations, some things that are important to you. Operators of gas stations, successful gas stations, tend to rely on one fundamental differentiator: location. It's location. Put me on a corner of an intersection that's based on ease of getting in and out, and my quadrant of the intersection is the easiest in and out, I'm going to kick the competition across the street all day long. Because it's going to be hard. It's going to be hard to ignore, for customers to ignore my competitive advantage, which is I got easier access. You can get in and out of my place easier than you can the other guys. Enter one of my favorite places to get gas, Quick Trip. Do they have Quick Trips where you are? Quick Trip is a company out of Tulsa, Oklahoma, and they've really expanded, especially in this part of the country. They have great locations. They have good prices. They got a drink bar that'll satisfy any liquid urge that you've got. They also have got the details down. You know that windshield washer thing that's got the contraptions in it that you can squeegee your windshield? And you know how you go to some of those and it's just bone dry? And whatever that crusty, the sponge is so crusty and the squeegee is so badly weathered. I mean, it couldn't have cleaned a windshield in the last 10 years. You're not going to find that at a Quick Trip. There's windshield washer suds always filled up in theirs. Stores are clean, staff's friendly. And even if I don't go in, which by the way is most of the time, I get out of my car, go to the pump, pump the gas. I don't even go inside the store, but I go in enough. Those little details, they impress me enough to warrant me giving them my fuel business. Now, if their prices aren't as low as surrounding stations, they might lose my business. But those differences are a tiebreaker. And the tiebreaker is all the difference in the world. The tiebreaker means they get my money. And if they lose the tiebreaker, they don't get my money. That's exactly how it is in your space. Be unique. Be different. Zig where everybody is using Zag. Make that a big priority. Make it a top priority. Then work on making your content better. Give your prospects and customers something that they cannot get anywhere else. Give them a reason to choose you. You know, pick us because we're just like everybody else. That's not a smart way to go. Harry's and Dollar Shave Club have both disrupted an old industry ruled by mega powers named Gillette. Casper and Lisa did the same thing in the mattress space. Under Armour did it in the athletic wear space. Go back further. Nike once did it. You know, now they're the 900-pound gorilla. I'm not suggesting that you are operating at such high altitude of disruption as these kinds of companies, but disruption, you do understand, disruption is just another term for being different. Admittedly, sometimes very different. It gets attention. And if the disruption, if the difference is dramatically better, it gets lots of attention. The same thing goes for your content. Successful media companies, more often than not, are unique and better. They don't always produce content you love, but they produce enough to grab your attention. A network called AMC gave us Breaking Bad, Mad Men, and Better Call Saul. Different, unique, better. They also gave us The Walking Dead and Humans. Those are two shows that I personally don't have any interest in, and I've never seen either one. Right? You'll never get all the eyeballs. You'll never get all the ears. You just need to get enough to grow your business and make it sustainable over the long haul, and you need enough so that you can grow your business and your career to a new level. There you go. Episode 4045. I'm glad you joined me. Go to the website. You can find everything you need and more at growgreat.com. My name is Randy Cantrell, coming to you from Dallas, Fort Worth, Texas, in a little space that I call the Yellow Studio.